Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are on Thursday. April.
You know how good your hair looks?
It does.
You got great hair, man. And I know from good hair because I like nothing about myself except my hair. I got a big hoe, big nose. I got hands like a tree frog. I got size 14 shoes, but I got good hair. It's all I got going for me. Well, so I know from hair, and I just want to say you got some killer hair, man.
Well,
just don't do anything to it. Don't color it.
You keep
don't
saying
do that,
that
yeah. mohawk you've been talking about for so long. Just you look
well,
good.
You had a
you
mohawk
look good.
At one point, but what
I
happened
can't have that? A mohawk with this nose. I'd look like a cockatiel. Are you kidding? I can't do that.
That's true.
Because
never
the,
thought of
the,
it that way. But
the
yeah.
the attractive level has raised so much
huge,
in the room here
huge.
Today with our
yes.
guests today
yes.
that I just I'm thinking aesthetics. I'm thinking.
Well,
aesthetics.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate you taking notes. Yes. Well, why don't we start off?
It's a good thing our listeners can't hear you roll your eyes. Do you know that?
Oh,
I'm so
can.
Glad we don't have
they
video.
Can.
They can?
Yes.
Okay. Thank our sponsors.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Are we
Thank
ever.
You. Performing
yeah.
Arts Live.
Yeah. And there are two productions in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen, right now that share that elusive trifecta. A killer production and a critical as well as audience acclaim, the Burn Down the House musical is back, and it's better than ever. And we are lucky enough to be joined by two explosive talents that are a big reason both of these shows are receiving standing ovations every night.
The shows are A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder and The Full Monty. And the talents we're talking about are right here in studio with us. Please welcome Candy Milo and Kristen Beth Williams.
Hi.
Hey, ladies. We are so happy that you're here. Miss Milo is running a tad behind.
She is. She'll be flying in here, and then she flies out to do a... She's a regular on a television series, an animated TV series, so she goes right from here to do a voiceover.
Yeah. yeah. No, but she's... Out. I mean, both of our guests have such full dance cards, and
yeah,
we're so happy
absolutely.
That they're taking the time to fill, you know, to be with us. Because,
absolutely.
As anyone who sees both of these shows will know, I haven't seen this production of Full Monty yet, but I did see A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. And to say that this thing is physically taxing, I mean, for the performers, is maybe it's just because I'm older now and I'm just watching it going, oh, how do they do it? How do those young whippersnappers
no,
do it?
You are similar in your own sense of style and comedy.
Yeah, but with me, it's drug induced, Michael. With me, it's.
Good Lord.
I'm kidding.
So
kids,
how,
just
how
say
How was
no.
your week? Certainly, that was the highlight of your week.
Yeah.
Last week.
You, certainly it was, yes. Because
yes,
thank you so... Yeah, that's the highlight of my week. It was the highlight of my week, actually.
Yeah, because you were waiting for your wife to... back.
My wife has returned. My lovely yeah. wife, Monica, has returned from Chi-Town, where we are moving back to Chicago, my adopted hometown, and selling a condo and having termite inspections and appraisers and all this stuff. It's just a little hug from Jesus, let
yeah,
me tell you.
Don't they list,
magical.
Don't they list moving very high up on the most stressful things
there, there's a
in
thing
life?
Called, having had anxiety disorder myself, there's a thing called LCUs, which are life change units.
Right.
And what it is like the biggest generator of LCUs would be death of a spouse. And number two is moving. And oddly enough, three, moving a dead spouse. I'm kidding. I think we got a Milo. We do
we
have
do.
A Milo. Candice Milo just walked in.
Hello.
Let's throw some applause her way. She's going to throw a headset on and hear the lovely applause that's coming her way.
There
thank you,
go.
Thank you.
Hello, Candy.
Hello.
How are you?
Me, Kristen, Candy.
Hi.
Kristen
Good
is here.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being with us.
I am so happy to be here.
This is your, what, second or third time with us?
Second. It was really fun.
Yeah.
First
that's
time.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
I think what was best when we all, remember we got naked?
Oh,
it was
well,
good.
Candy, you're going to have to be more specific. I don't remember that, but that's, don't worry.
I do.
Krista's just like, what kind of show
it's
is
coming.
This?
It's at the end. It's good.
Okay. Okay. Something to look forward to.
I read about this on the interweb. That was my week, Michael. Before we start talking to Kathy, how was your week?
Well, equally as interesting, certainly having seen Kristen's show, but also having opened Candy's show, for which I'm representing, the Full Monty at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center last weekend. Yeah.
And it moves to the Plummer now, right?
And it moves to the Plummer, the historic Plummer Theater in Fullerton. And it opens officially to the press on Saturday evening, but the preview is tomorrow night, Friday night, and then it runs through May 8th.
All right.
Yeah. It's a great Mother's Day.
And
speaking
of running through, before, well, just so we're going to throw this information out there for a number of times before the end, it's May 1st is when you guys wrap up. Gentleman's Guide. Okay.
Gentleman's Guide, not long enough for me out here, and I'm sure other people feel the same, but
it'll
at least
be back.
We got it.
I'm telling you, it'll be back. Both of them will be. Let's begin. We have a lot of to address today, so I'm going to kick it off, Michael, if that's okay with you.
Sure. Absolutely.
Our first guest is a veteran stage performer since childhood and has not only significant episodic television acting credits, but is one of animation's leading voice actors. Her credits on series in that arena include Tiny Toon Adventures, SWAT Cats, The Radical Squadron, Dexter's Laboratory, Cow and Chicken, The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, Codename Kids Next Door, My Life as a Teenage Robot, Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, Maya and Miguel, Witch, The Life and Times of Juniper Lee, and The Replacements. Following critical acclaim in the 2014 Los Angeles world premiere of Scary Musical, the musical, which was a hoot at the NoHo Arts Center in North Hollywood, she returned to stage in October of 2015, playing the role of Grandmama Adams in the 3D theatricals version of The Addams Family, which we had Bronson Pinchot on to talk about that.
Yes? That's right. Yes,
we Please did. Welcome the force of nature that is Candy Milo. And we are out of time, but it was so great, and we just really appreciate
it's
having
good
you
while
here.
We had you.
How are you?
I just wonder where all the checks are from those shows, because I'm not seeing anything right now. I have a couple of other really good ones.
Yeah?
I'm on Pig Goat Banana Cricket with Nickelodeon.
You just made that up.
No, I swear.
Really? You
goodness.
Didn't.
And I play the coveted role of Goat, who is an artistic
they
person.
Said you were a fool to dream, Candy.
Thank you. This is what I like to say. Inanimate objects and animals are what I do best. And she is a budding artist with absolutely no talent, which is kind of a dream come true. And then I'm also doing DreamWorks' Puss in Boots, which is great. And I do the role of Kid Pickles. And people love my voice on that because it's like this. And they were like, what is that? And I thought, we represent the lollipop kids. That's and it. I thought, way before.
That's it.
Once a year is not enough for new generation. And then I do the Mighty Magiswords for Cartoon Network.
Holy cow. Yeah. You know, you're talking about checks coming in and residuals. And I want to share, because, I mean, all of us here have at some point received residual checks for something that we've done. Why is there not some architecture that when through a charity or something, through SAG or AFTRA or something, that once a residual check is below a certain amount, that money can just be funded to a charitable thing?
Well, because it's not their money to do that with. It's your money. So if you direct them to do it, but some people count on those 6 cent checks, whatever. Well, the bottom line is, and you can get me started on this, is that it is the... it is the studios hiring the payroll companies, and that is their architecture to send them out separately and not roll it in. Warner Brothers rolls all of their residuals into one check, and then on the side it tells you what it is. But everybody else does per check, per episode.
Okay.
And yes, we do go down to 6 cents an episode. My favorite.
Or a penny. You know, a penny.
Well,
I can't tell you how many.
I love that. A penny after taxes. So you have to sit on Quicken going, federal, 0.01. And so we can't, and SAG can't do that. But what you can do, everybody who's getting 6 cent checks, you endorse them, you put them in an envelope, and you send them back to SAG, and they will put them into the Actors Fund.
Oh,
for you. You
that's
can
great
do it,
to know.
But it's on your stamp.
Okay. I don't want to eat into your time and talking about
whatever.
This, but it just occurred to me, and I'm just like, it's,
I'm drunk.
And I didn't want to say anything, but did you have to bring it in here with you? And look at the way, anyway. So, okay, how much fun are you having with Full Monty?
Well, playing Jeanette, of course.
Michael,
right?
What is that? Well, here's the, and you'll get this once you're old and tired like I am. Now, when I came back to the theater after many years of doing stupid voices, all the roles passed me by. I was like, yes, I would like to play Vicky. And they were like, have you seen yourself? Is there a mirror in your house? And we'd like you to do Jeanette. And I kind of wanted Jeanette, but I really wanted to play after Grandmama, a girl with legs, and just a real girl with real legs. And, you know, I was assured, Michael Sterling and I have a mutual friend, Michael Orland, who said, oh, my God, Candy, this is my favorite role. And it's been a blast. It's really great, and I like to say that I follow on the heels of, you know, my colleagues, Elaine Stritch and Kathleen Freeman. We're all such good friends. Two of them out of show business now. Me hanging by a thread, but performing nightly.
Do you know that Kathleen Freeman played my aunt in Flower Drum Song? And why was she or I even in Flower Drum Song?
I love regional theater.
Yeah, right.
Oh, this was the
it was song. Like my one-man production of Dreamgirls. But she was...
You played everyone.
I was.
I'm a chameleon.
Costume changes were a bitch.
You know, my favorite Elaine Stritch line is when she said, when she realized that she was an alcoholic, and that she said her sister and she both realized that they were alcoholics, and they decided, you know what, we're just going to have one drink a day. That's all we're going to do, just one drink a day. Just, and the next day, we bumped into each other in the vase section of Tiffany's. So this is Candy. This is not your first. This the second thing that with 3D theatricals.
3D, yeah, and you know I have to.
They love you there,
and I really like them. I, you know, we have these larger houses in LA and these amazing productions that come in, and you know, a theater in Los Angeles struggles because we're such a vast valley, and it's there the distance. You could drive 17 miles and then you have to park. It's it's a drama. So to have a mid-size company give as many equity contracts as they give, it's amazing. And the quality of the productions. And I will just give a shout out to TJ Dawson.
Absolutely.
Who is an unbelievable young man.
Yes,
an unbelievable director, singer, talent. And then his siblings and his wife who produce. I think they're like wonder kids. I mean, they're really great. It's a wonderful production. And
he has a very innate understanding about Broadway in general, not only as a performer, but the business mind is there as well. Right. That's what most people don't have necessarily in that position that he's in as executive producer, artistic director.
And it's called 3D Theatricals because it's three siblings, Dawson.
Right, Gretchen. Gretchen, Daniel, and TJ. And TJ directs, and they're all...
Gretchen's the head of marketing.
Yeah, and also brilliantly talented. Yes, and it's a wonderful thing because other smaller houses or smaller companies either offer just guest contracts, one or two equity, and then favors locally. And it gets to be tough, but I will tell you, you really notch it up when everybody is... when half of your cast is equity. And I only mean that in that truly professional, doing this for a living, fully invested in doing something like this, we're treated wonderfully. But to have a producer who understands that my role, you know, he wears so many hats, but he's so artistic, and he understood that the role of Jeanette in the Full Monty is really to buffer people who are uncomfortable and taken out of the story by either the nudity or the gay storyline. This is sort of my character comes on mid-show, and she is suddenly making it okay for everyone to enjoy the piece. And when he said that, I thought it's like an honor to play this, and I like to think that I disappear into it, but what I feel is that I sense that the applause builds to the end because they're now, we're all together with the guys, and we're all building toward the Full Monty.
Would it be too much to say that you're almost like a representative of the audience on stage?
Yes.
Is that That would
I would
be too
think
much
so.
To say?
No, I think that what's very interesting is that we, in Redondo, we had great enthusiastic crowds, and we had a Friday night prior to our opening, a soft opening, which was an older crowd. And what was fascinating was that people went up to the ushers stating that the character of Jeanette was not in the program and that they couldn't find me because they were convinced that I was 70.
Wow.
With the vocalization that I did, and they went up
and the appearance.
And the appearance. And so I do feel like I am their advocate, but I'm there to let them know. My character lets them know that everything that's going on has nothing to do with anything. It's all just... It all just makes you like the boys even more.
You know, it's we were talking about something. It just hit me while you were saying that, because right before we came on the air, we were talking about this show that I did for 11 years called Straight Up With a Twist. And the primary narrator of that, even though I played everyone in my family, was my mother. And because we made her the primary narrator, it was so much more accessible to audiences. It could play to everyone because, A, you either were that woman or you had a mother like that woman.
Right.
And just even her struggle to understand made it more palatable to someone in the audience who might be struggling to understand. It sounds very similar.
And also, don't you remember when you were a kid, and I know you know this.
She's still a kid.
That's why.
not as much of a kid as you guys think.
Right.
But
when you were little, you looked for people who looked like you on television so that you could be them. And I had siblings, and we would fight over, you know, I'm so-and-so, and you're so-and-so. And when you look out, and there's nobody that represents you.
Right.
And I would like a shout out to Lin-Manuel and say, I think it's wonderful that everybody is so of people of color, POC. I'd like to see an old person in your show. I'd like to see an older woman of color. And then you get like the trifecta. But right now, I think that what I've discovered since Awakening, and suddenly it's 2016, is that they write one female middle-aged character in every musical. Lacage, everybody's got the one gal. And I really do think that audiences look for themselves. And if they can't grab onto any of the boys, and they can't find that, or they can't find it in a wife, I'm the person that, you know, that they gravitate to. And I think that's just about... Well, audiences in general.
Well, interestingly enough, Lin-Manuel is working on a production that is for older people, and it is actually called Hamilton, but in this case, it's George Hamilton. Oh, look at the time. Oh, man.
God, was that out loud.
That was a long walk for the store to be closed, wasn't it? You're continuing. They're getting it. I'm going, Hamilton, old Hamilton. George, okay, gotcha.
And George listens to this program.
And we have him right
George,
here.
George, I love
and
you. And he comes in with an Uzi. What happened?
Candy, my question, animation versus live in the theater.
Unpredictable. Well, first of all, I think that applause is a drug. It is its own... it's how I will guarantee you 99% of performers are born. They say or do something that garners attention and applause. Everything, I've been doing animation voices for about 25 years now, and I'm looking for the new in it, and I'm looking for a place. But when you have the constraints of children's programming and... what that is. I mean, I love it. I think part of my voice acting helps me, you know, make Jeanette who she is, and she's lovely. I like to think of her as Ruth Gordon on acid. That's who I'm doing. And in my bad wig. And I say that, you know, I love it. It's all the same. But I think because I started on the stage, my voice acting is better. And because voice acting has been so good to me, I am able to do the stage again. But they are truly two completely different animals, two completely different things. You're free to go off book, and you can't do that on stage as somebody waits for their cue. And you know, God forbid anybody rewrites Terrence McNally. Here's a better line, Ter. Yeah. Let me talk to you. Let me. I got a better idea. Love that Pulitzer.
Do you do any of the other? I mean, what about like? Because I know I read that just recently the audiobooks have surpassed. Audiobooks have surpassed regular book sales.
Yeah.
That it's actually more common to buy an audiobook than it is to buy a hardcover book, which we all saw coming with the internet and,
right,
the Kindles and all that. Have you ever done that? Is that too time-consuming for you?
Well,
given?
It is better handled, I think, by people who are just so good at that. I can do and have done some children's books that are apps, but it is a... You're paid per page, and it's not great.
Right.
So for
a heroic amount of time,
Yeah. And the deadline to finish. So you could be sitting, as I like to say, my home booth or the place where I keep my clothes, my closet. I'd be sitting in there for 4 hours.
Highfalutin types.
I just want you to know, on my $50 mic. I just, when people talk to me about, well, you know, I have a $6,000 whisper booth, and I'm like, yeah, and here we are on the same job. Boom! Boom!
Sorry.
No gesticulation.
No gesticulation here in front of everybody. go ahead.
I'm just going to say, before we because we're coming into the home stretch with Candy's interview here, I just wanted to put it out there. This woman really, truly, I mean, first of all, the entire company, another thing T.J. Dawson does as a director is he knows how to cast people.
He does.
And they are impeccably cast. And everybody, I mean, she's got a plum role, certainly, but each of the fellows that play the young men in the show are so hugely talented and very vastly different from one another, too. Wow. So there's just kind of a surprise with every character as you meet them.
Yes.
And TJ's lovely wife, actually Jeanette, also named Jeanette, opens the show with, she plays one of the wives of the...
she plays Georgie.
Yes, Georgie, of one of the fellows.
And for those of us who haven't seen the play, it's set, I mean, obviously the film was set in working class England. It's set in, it's relocated to Pittsburgh.
Buffalo.
Okay. Yeah. Or like a steel town.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
And in 1992.
In 1992,
right.
And the transition is... flawless, right? It doesn't need to be in London. In fact, it's better in Buffalo.
Great, and I think where the role of Jeanette came from was that you have Yazbek, who's written this unbelievable score,
it's
and
so
they
good.
Right.
It's such a great score.
It's so my favorite song in the whole thing is Big Ass Rock. That is their song. It is the most. I mean, I find myself going over the lyrics, laughing out loud, brushing my teeth, thinking it's wonderful. And in the movie, when they did all of their rehearsals, they did it to Donna Summers, and they did it to disco music and stuff of the time. So they added this character in so that we could have Yazbek's score go through. And I do think it's seamless, but if you don't have the brilliance of the Monty Six, if you don't have those six men that are lovable and different and vulnerable and raw, no one, no matter how good I am, no one will like the show. And so far, four performances, standing ovations, it's been brilliant. They are charming and honest, and they are just wonderful talents.
Well,
they
tell people how to observe those talents in action. This is, of course, Full Monty that we're talking about that is no longer at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center because, as they do with many of the 3D theatrical shows, they play one location and they move to another. And they have moved to the Plummer Auditorium, which is 201 East Chapman Avenue in Fullerton. And I've seen a couple of shows there, and we always push this when we talk about Southern California. Complimentary public parking lot directly across the street. And Michael, you want to tell them how to get tickets there?
Yes, the remote box office for tickets, ladies and gentlemen, is very easy to access. You simply call 714-589-2770. And hours are between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 12 through 4 p.m. Saturday. And at the theater itself, the box office opens 2 hours prior to the time of the performance. Ticket prices are on sale for as little as $25 and on up. There is a handling fee, of course, like all outside vendors and box offices do charge these days. But simply go online is your other alternate way of purchasing a ticket, 3DTShows.com. And certainly group and student discounts are available. $20 rush to ticket. Tickets are available 1 hour prior to select performances, but you have to call to find out what that is.
Okay, and we will throw that information out there a couple of more times in addition to the information.
And one more thing, too. I just wanted to do a shout-out to Corey Hirsch, who is the musical director of this beautiful 18-piece orchestra that, just kills. Every 3D show is blessed with that.
Wonderful.
Yeah, he is something else. There's something in the water in Orange County, I'm just saying. I promise not to hit the table again, but I want you to know that I wanted to.
Did I look too stern with that?
You did. What are you reaching for? To slap the table again? Maybe I was. And maybe I reached for the water instead.
Never liked her. Never did.
She's putting you in the hot seat, mister.
Never liked her. But Michael, would you do the arts calendar? I have some glaring to do.
Excuse me, I will. I'm sorry. It's a good thing I wasn't drinking. I would be choking.
Kearney did it right through my nose. Thanks, Paul. I know where you live.
Oh, a nose joke now. Did you see that? How she tucked that in there?
At least she didn't say nose job.
Lady!
Okay. There you go. Millennium Consort Singers with Martin Neary as director returns to Pomona College to present a musical celebration, Noise, Sounds, and Sweet Airs, to mark the 400th anniversary of William Shakespeare's death. Their program includes music by Flaherty, Gibbons Morley, Vaughan Williams, and others, interspersed with readings by English actor Julian Barnes from Shakespeare's sonnets and plays. The West Coast-based Millennium Consort Singers came together in 2007 at the instigation of Kelly Garrison, director of the Da Camera Society, to perform choral masterpieces from the Renaissance in the 20th and 21st centuries.
Their opening concert before a completely full audience at St. Basil's Cathedral featured works by the contemporary British composer John Taverner, and his earlier namesake, John Taverner, was a spectacular success. I don't know if I have that right, but...
You just made that up, didn't you?
I did. Since then, MCS programs have included numerous American premieres of works by Jonathan Harvey and other British composers, music by contemporary Americans such as Tom Flaherty and Kurt Rode, as well as a rich range of English music from the Golden Age and demanding repertoire from the 20th and 21st centuries. This free event will play this Saturday at 8 o'clock at Bridges Hall of Music at 150 East 4th Street in Claremont, California. For more info, call 909-607-2671. Michael, would you please introduce the lovely lady to my right?
With pleasure. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is delighted to join a deliciously devilish company and cast in A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. Her credits include Top Hat at the Dale Tremont in London's West End, Pippin, Nice Work, Anything Goes, and Promises, Promises on Broadway, as well as the Marvelous Wonderettes and Encores productions. She's also was it an encore production of Marvelous Wonderettes?
No.
Oh, it's just a different... She also appeared at Town Hall and
that's
Carnegie.
My bad punctuation. I'm going to take the
oh, you're
for
still going to pay for that, too. Yeah. She's also appeared at Town Hall and Carnegie Hall. Her regional credits include Big Fish, White Christmas, Music Theater of Wichita, and Paper Mill Playhouse. Please welcome the lovely and talented Kristen Beth Williams.
Hello.
Wow.
I love the Paper Mill Playhouse. My friend Ted Coach, one of my oldest and dearest friends, just did Christmas Story there. He was
fantastic.
The narrator in that. And what a beautiful space that is.
Isn't it?
How much fun are you having with this show?
Tons of fun.
We were talking before you got here, Michael, and I was just saying that, and I'm going to say this on the air, and you know that I don't say this often. We've been doing this show for 5 years. And
almost six next month, yeah.
And we see a lot of shows because of the nature of this work. I cannot remember the last time I had so much fun in the theaters when I saw this show. Right. I was howling, and I don't mean just like, this is fun, looking at me. I mean, tears. And those of us that spend a lot of time in theaters, it's sort of like when you work in a restaurant, you become either the worst customer ever or the best customer ever, right, depending on the world around you. And this was definitely just what a joyous time to spend in the theater. I saw it with Trudy because Monica was out of town.
Yes.
And, of course, because we go and promote shows, we get the tickets. Monica and I are actually going to buy tickets and go see it before.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to see it a second time.
Okay, good.
So anyway, now this production, did you know about it before you were called into audition for it? Did you have a history with it? Had you seen it?
My husband and I are both Tony voters, so we saw the show twice in its original year on Broadway. And
New York is where you live now?
Yes. Yeah. And we absolutely loved it and voted for it for Best New Musical. And I voted for it for costumes as well, because I just could not get over the fact that the two female leads costumes, so now my costumes, and the other female leads costumes are just so stunning and so intricate. And then the ensemble has a base costume that they just add and subtract pieces to. I thought they changed costumes so many different times throughout the show, and I had a girlfriend in the Broadway company at the time, and I said, oh my gosh, those costumes are fantastic. She goes, I wear a blouse and a skirt, and then I just...
So it's like a template that they just add to. It's brilliant.
And I thought Linda Cho is a genius. And you know, when I saw the show, and you know, if you haven't seen it, we have a regular proscenium, and then we have a smaller proscenium set inside of the stage, and that curtain rises and falls several times. So it rises on the new action and then closes, and then we change the set and it rises on the new action. And when that curtain rose on Lisa O'Hare as Sabella, I was like, oh, that's the part. That's the part yeah. in the show. But I'd seen it twice, but I have not seen the show since then. So I knew what the show was, and it was almost a year after I'd seen it the last time before I finally got an audition for the tour. And I went, you know what? I think I know who this person is. And I'm not going to go get any more ideas about who she is or what she wants out of this life in this production. So I'm just going to go in and do me as Sabella. And I'm absolutely having a blast with it.
Was it as killer a pink gown when you saw it? I mean,
oh, yeah.
It was just because the pink gown is just like, that's just, it's the grandest wedding cake you've ever seen. it's a character in and of itself.
It is. She likes to take out some of the props here and there, or the footlights on the stage. So I have to be very careful with her.
Oh no! What was the? We were talking also before the show started about just the physical, how physically taxing this show is, not only for yourself, but for the two gentlemen who play the thing, specifically Kevin Massey, who is I mean, it's pretty much start to finish with him.
It is. I think he's off stage for maybe 90 seconds the entire show.
Of course, we're speaking of Monty Navarro.
Yes, not the full Monty.
Yes.
two different Montys that we're talking about here.
The full Monty Navarro, yes. Full Monty Navarro, just a guy I knew who owned a deli in the Bronx. It was a little awkward, you know.
No, it's an extremely taxing show physically for everyone, but especially for Kevin and John, who plays the Dysquith family. John's only off stage to change clothes, really, and his costumes are more like puppets almost. You know, they're built with fat pads or breasts when he has to play a woman, which he does twice in the show, and so it's a marathon for them.
Now, I'm not sure if the source material is the same, but one of my favorite movies of all time with Alec Guinness is a film called Kind Hearts and Coronets. And it's a similar premise.
Original source material is the same.
Yes. Oh, it is?
The Autobiography of a Criminal, I think is what it's called. It's an old novel.
Okay, so it was the same novel inspired
same original
both
source
pieces.
Material,
okay,
yes.
And interestingly enough, in the film Kind Hearts and Coronets, Alec Guinness does play every member of that family.
Yeah. Yes.
I wonder if I don't want to give away too much about the thing. So, you know, I was going to say, can you give a little synopsis? But let's not even bother, because I don't want to, you know, because it is, there's so many little surprises in it. We're talking about the surprises in the other show that I don't want to.
Yeah. We shouldn't. That's part of the pleasure of seeing this show, too. It just works from top to bottom. Your journey through your career, actually, you were in New York working on Broadway, right?
Mm-hmm.
In ensemble, doing ensemble things.
Yes.
But it took you going to being hired in the West End for your whole career to change its course.
Yes. Right? I've done principals regionally since kind of the beginning of my career. My first real principal job regionally was I moved out here 10 years ago to play Snow White in Snow White, an Enchanting Musical at Disneyland, and then did a lot of regional theater out here. I worked at Downey Civic Light Opera, which I don't think is around anymore, and Reprise and a bunch of other things, doing either equity guest artist or ensemble work out here. Mm-hmm. And then got my first real big break doing the L.A. production of White Christmas at the Pantages in 2005.
Right. Oh, wow. I saw you in that.
Well, there you go.
You were lovely. I saw you in that.
But yes, no, my entire career changed with Top Hat in the West End. And that was just a dream come true role, sort of like Sibella is, but in completely different ways. You know, I'm a singer, actor, dancer, and playing Ginger Rogers, basically, playing Dale Tremont in Top Hat. I used all of those things, and I don't dance really in Gentleman's Guide. It's not a big dance show, but we were allowed to use the choreography from the 1934-35 film of Top Hat. So we were actually doing the choreography that Fred and Ginger did in the film.
Yeah.
And so it was just that part of that was so joyous. And, you know, for the first time in your career to see your picture on the front of the theater, you know, life-size version of you is astounding, and you never, you know, you never think it's going to do that, but
you do such a beautiful job in it too. It's just it's not only fun to be out, it's very exciting. It's, you know, it's like you're a kid watching, you know, when you're a kid and how you perceive things that you're watching. That's how I felt. I couldn't get enough of it.
I beg to differ. I'm going to disagree with you on one point, because you say that you don't do, and maybe you technically don't do a lot of dancing in this, but the work that is done is as intricate and as complex as any formal dance. Specifically, one routine that I'm not going to, once again, ruin for potential audience members by going into detail about it. But if you look online, I've prepared a chart. there's a bit involving a door.
Yes.
We're just going to say that. It's a door, it's two rooms, and it is the definition of English music hall farce, slamming door, you know. But what's so beautiful about it is that it's so concentrated, it's so economical, and that's one of the things that I think really makes it sing, because it's three people mm-hmm. and a door.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking back at old Laurel and Hardy, and there was a bit with a Stan Laurel trying to open a door, and he had a key in the door, and you wouldn't think that he could do 75 bits about trying to get a door open, and he does 90.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is just when you think that they can't go to this well another time,
they go
and it's so joyous. It's just really
what's fun about that number specifically. It's I've decided to marry you, so you can YouTube it, because it's the one that they did on the Thanksgiving Day Parade and on the
yes.
Tony Awards. And so if you want a taste of what you're going to right. experience, you can YouTube it. But our writers, Stephen Lutvak and Robert Friedman, knew that the song was good, and they knew that the song was funny in and of itself. Mm. And then Darko Trezniak, our director, came in and said, I think it needs to be this set-wise. And the set designer went, okay, great. And then Peggy Hickey, our choreographer, who's a local Californian,
yes, and amazing.
Came in and went, okay, I'm gonna do this. And she is responsible for all of that intricate timing, and it's so much fun.
But don't you love when layers of good build on?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because so much of the time, and it will happen the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like, you know, this is a great song with great music. I see ducks, and they just bring something in
yes.
that absolutely, some vision of some idiot, you know, absolutely ruins it. But in this case, it's just like, you know, one layer mm-hmm. and not heavy layers. It's just
yep.
finesse and
yep.
distillation. And what a
pleasure. It's one of those things where all of the pieces come together and make one unit that is I think it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a great way to describe this show, because when I told him that we were going to have you on our show, and he was out in Chicago at the time, and I said, you know, I'll set it up with Jason Martin, who's the wonderful part of the Center Theater Group PR team, that for Paul to see the show. It was a must to see, right? And I texted him. I said, this, trust me, because as he told you before, he and I don't always agree on mm-hmm. things. And I said,
because I like the good things, and Michael likes what he likes.
I texted him, and I said, trust me, you will love this. This is right up your alley. And the last time I said it to him, it wasn't necessarily, but it proved to be true on this one, didn't it?
And, you know, like, you know, what Candy was saying about having someone on stage that's sort of a conduit for the audience, I was the conduit to the audience in this particular production until they asked me to leave. but it is, you know, you are just like, you're sitting there, and also that whole show within a show, the stage, mm-hmm. you know, the stage and that, that such a grand show can still be intimatized, if that's a word, in a space that big. They've accomplished
yes.
that, too.
Yes, they have indeed.
Let's tell people how to see it.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Tickets for Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, ladies and gentlemen, at the Amundsen Theater, part of the Center Theater Group's beautiful downtown area that you should all go to if you haven't. It's a very splendid evening just to be walking through the promenade there. Tickets are available by calling 213-972-4400 or online at centertheatergroup.org. And theater is spelled with an R-E in that website address, centertheatergroup.org, or by visiting the Center Theater Group box office at the Amundsen Theater. Ticket prices, again, start as low as $25. The Amundsen is located at the Los Angeles Music Center, 135 North Grand Avenue in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
And sorry.
And the show runs through May 1st.
And I have to say that I spit a martini out at the bar right before the show started because a woman came up to the bar and said something so unintentional. Funny that I spit my martini out right at the bar. I was having a martini, and a woman came up behind me or next to me, and she was going to order, and she said, and the bartender said, can I help you? She goes, yeah, my stomach is just giving me a little trouble. Could I get a little club soda with just a couple of drops of bitters in it and a lemon wedge? And he started to go away, and she said, and a double margarita extra salt. And I just snort. It was like, oh, that was just, it was perfect timing.
I'm buying tickets right now online.
Are you?
On their app.
Are okay.
Because it okay. runs Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It doesn't just run on the weekend.
No. Oh, there you go.
So I can do it.
You know, that I'm not even going to reprimand you for having your cell phone on if that's what you're doing with your cell phone.
Why are you
just
yelling
so long
at me?
As you don't, so long as you don't hit the table with your cell phone, we're good. You know what? And while we, Michael, while we're throwing that information out there, let's also reiterate the. I will reiterate the information for Full Monty.
Full Monty, yes,
Plummer Auditorium, 201 East Chapman Avenue. That's in Fullerton. Box office 714-589-2770, and of course, or 3DTShows.com. And tickets start $25, and that plays through May 8th out there at the Plummer Auditorium.
It does indeed.
Yes.
And, you know, ladies, we're coming to that time.
We're coming to that time.
Of the show.
Where we ask you to share a theatrical tale of woe, something that went wrong, some embarrassing thing.
Terribly,
hopefully
terribly wrong.
Funny, not necessarily from this show, but from any show. You have a little bit of, I think we're going to start with Candy.
I don't know if I've said this before, but I brought two friends to the First National Tour audition for Dreamgirls. And somebody was having a fit in the... And I was non-equity and non-African-American. And so somebody dropped their ticket and I brought it
up. Is that a category now? Because
yes.
I know there's non-equity,
non-African-American. Non-African-American.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I brought...
The dues are higher.
I will just say, and the opportunity slim.
Less, exactly.
But I'm still joyous. Anyway, so I bring the ticket up to Lucy, who was the equity deputy, and she looked at me and she went, oh dear, 77, you're in. And I walked in, and I walked into the Masonic Temple that was on Wilshire, I think it was. And it was pitch black in the room, and there was this little man on stage, and he said, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'm looking for a job. And he said, doing what? And I said, I think this musical. And he looked, and he proceeded to show me everybody on stage, and he said, have you seen Dreamgirls? And I looked around, and I said, well, obviously not, but I got in, so you got to hear me sing. And I think I was 20, and I think he hired me because he couldn't believe that not only did I slap the table, but I walked over and sang and danced, and I had not yet seen a chorus line, but we were moving. We were taught a combination, And we were by Michael Peters, the late Michael Peters, and then we would move up. And I stopped, and he said, "Why are you stopping?" And I said, "Well, I knew it better when I was in the back." And, you know, Cassie's wow. famous line, which I had not seen, was, "I knew it better when I was in the front." And I was like, "I can do it if I'm in the back, and if you hire me, just keep me in the back row." And Michael Bennett and Bob Avian are like, "Who are you?" And guess what? They sent my two friends home, and I got the job.
Really?
Yes, I was in the first national tour of Dreamgirls on an open
cup,
right? Because I just think that when you've got Noive, you've got Noive.
No, that's, you know, that's, you got the Noive.
The Noive. Thank you. And that's my most embarrassing thing, looking around. Well, yes, obviously not. I haven't seen the musical. Yes, yes. I'm sure you're going to let me sing because I snuck in. So Bronx. So Bronx.
Are you from the Bronx?
My parents are.
So are mine.
I love
well, my,
that.
My mother's from the Bronx. My father's from Italy. My mother's from the Bronx.
That's
As I said before, I'll say it again. I'm half Italian and I'm half German, so I'm very passionate in my need to control the world. So do you have a tale for us?
Like I said, I'm a dancer. That's one of my skills, and I have been hired in many shows as a dancer who sings like a singer and who can speak lines. You know, that's my lot in life, and it's wonderful. But I'm dancers notoriously can't walk. Can dance, we can turn, mm-hmm. we can kick, but we can't walk. I have fallen more times in A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, and I mean wiped out on stage in my costumes, than I have in any dance show I have ever done.
But is it the costume, or is
part
it just...
Part of it's the costumes, part of it... there was one time when I was just... I'd fallen again, and it was, you know, the second time in a week, and I was just so upset about it. And Kevin Massey, my wonderful Monty, goes, "I think that was my fault. I think I pulled you down," because that was an odd experience, because I went to run away from him, and I grabbed my dress, and I went to run away, and then all of a sudden I was on the floor, and he was on top of me. And I went, "This is not how this play is supposed to go." So,
you luckily, are turning bright red.
I know. It's very embarrassing when you're supposed to be like the tall, statuesque, you know, beautiful one in pink, and you end up just in a puddle of skirts on the floor.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
that's hysterical.
You know, I promise I won't. Well, I knock on wood. I'm not going to hit the table. I will knock on it. I won't fall if you come to see A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
She recognized
it. She can hit the table.
She recognized it. I have to ask you something, Candy. Because we got 2.5 minutes, and I have to ask you, can you tell the story, and for this one, censors be damned, we're going to let her get away with it. Can you, in 2.5 minutes, tell the story that arrives with the title of your cabaret show?
I was flown by Martin Sharnan from San Jose, California, to Los Angeles to audition for the first national tour ever of Annie. My father came with me, and they kept keeping me, even though I was 14, and I looked 14, and I was very dark. And my father kept saying, "You're not going to get this job. Italians don't give their kids away. Just fair people." And I'm like, he was on a roll with his cigar inside the church where we were auditioning. And they kept keeping me because I could tap. And so I kept singing. And, of course, we had to sing Happy Birthday. So you could hear all of us doing, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Annie. So in walks this little kid. And she's adorable. She has a mop of the curliest hair. And my dad looks at me and looks at her. And she looked like she was 5. So she had to be 10, playing younger. He said, "You better hope that kid can't sing." And so she goes in and she's waving to all of us. And I wave back. My dad goes, "Don't wave at her. She's the enemy." I'm like, "Oh, my God. Total performer, my dad." So she goes in and all of a sudden we hear, "It's the Hard Knock Life for us." My dad looks at me and he goes, "If she taps, you're fucked." 2 seconds later, we hear, "Whack, whackity, whack, 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 whackity, whack, whack, whack." My dad goes, "Let's go." I said, "I have not been released." And he said, I said, "I am not finished." He said, "Oh, trust me, you're finished." And they looked out and they, and he started to walk out. Mark Sharnan comes out and goes, "Candy." My dad goes, "You're finished." And he said, "Yes, you're finished."
But that's the beauty of it is that the title, this. title of Candy's Cabaret Show is just If She Taps Your Phone.
My life in six songs or
yes,
less.
That's right. I know, because I did the postcard for you.
Yes, you did. And
what a pleasure
ladies,
having both of you on here. I hope you had as much fun as we did.
Thank you so much. Candy, I know you got a job. You got a bolt.
Yeah.
We're going to get you out of here as quickly
and
as
gonna,
well.
And what a pleasure, Michael, once again sharing
thank
the microphone
you.
With you. Before
thank you.
Before
same
we go,
here, Paul.
We have let's throw it out there. Just the websites. One more site. Yep. Center Theater Group. Theater has the R-E spelling. CenterTheaterGroup.org and 3DTShows.com.
Exactly.
What a pleasure. We'll see you all next week.
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.